Sup, freaks, it's your boy Marty here to introduce this rip of Rabbit Hole Recap. It was brought to you by our good friends down the hall, Unchained. Unchained is here to help you eliminate single points of failure in your custody. They have their 2 or 3 multi-sig vault, which is collaborative custody. You hold 2 keys, they hold 1. You eliminate single points of failure by distributing your keys and their backups geographically. You can lose three of the 4 devices and still get access to your Bitcoin. Unchained is always there as a collaborative custody partner to be the second in the 2 or 3 multi-sig transaction if you need them to sign on your behalf. And their whole company revolves around this 2 or 3 multi-sig setup. They have an IRA that you can roll over into, or you can start a Bitcoin IRA with Unchained. So if you're out there, you're looking at the ETFs, you're like, should I buy the Bitcoin ETF? No. You should hold your own Bitcoin in your IRA. Unchained makes it very easy. So if you're thinking about rolling your IRA into Bitcoin, hit up Unchained. Go to unchained.com/consultation. Talk to their team. You'll be able to roll it over, own actual Bitcoin, not Bitcoin IOUs, and then hold your own keys. It's a 2 or 3 multi-sig quorum. You hold 2 keys. Unchained holds 1. It's a beautiful thing. All right, go to unchained.com/consultation. Tell them that Rabbit Hole Recap sent you and get set up today. This report was also brought to you by our good friends at CoinKite. CoinKite is here building the best hardware in the space. I got this little block clock showing Moscow time right now behind me. It's 1929 in Moscow. It's an inside joke. 1929 sats per cuckbuck. They also make the best Bitcoin wallets, hardware wallets on the market, signing devices. MVK likes to call them signing devices. That's what they are. You got the Mark IV, the MK4, which is the best on the market to date. In this episode, we actually previewed the Q as well, MK4. It's NFC enabled. You create your private public key pairs offline. You can add entropy to your private keys with the roll of dice. It's got an SD card. You do everything offline. You don't touch the internet, so you keep your private keys secure. The Q1 has all the same internal guts as the MK4, but it's got a full keyboard. It's got a QR scanner. It's got a battery pack. It's going to come with a bunch of really cool features. You're going to be able to save your passwords there. You're going to be able to create PSBTs. It's NFC enabled as well. They're building the best hardware out there. Go to coinkite.com. Check it out. Get a block clock. Get a Q1. Get an MK4. Get some SATs cards, some tap signers. It's really sci-fi technology. It's really approachable. Coinkite.com. Try RHR. Try CD, try TFTC. Still don't know if we have a code. Enjoy this rip. Ticky.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
What do we title this one? I went to the bathroom while you were titling it.
Trump likes the coin.
Trump likes the coin. He does. Who would have thought it? It's the best coin out there. It's going to do incredible things for our economy, for individual Americans. The coin is good.
We've had many different opens, but I think one of my favorite opens in our history is, wait, what did we title this episode?
What is up, freaks? It's been a crazy week here in Austin. We got consensus in town. The shitcoiners have descended on Austin like a horde of locusts.
The shitcoin capital of the world.
Come on. Come on. Really?
What?
Vibes are high. We're preparing for the event co-hosted by Bitcoin Park, actually, funnily enough. Rod will be interviewing Kathy Wood on stage here at the Commons in a few hours. So this is going to be a tight rip. You may not be able to hear it, but there's people setting up. We've got we're playing blues throughout the Commons. It's Stevie Ray Vaughan week in the Commons, as curated by your boy, Uncle Marty. I made the executive decision. I said, we're putting the music on this week, and it's Stevie Ray Vaughan, and Stevie Ray Vaughan only.
I thought that was Hendrix.
No, he was playing Voodoo Child. It's a cover of Hendrix. Ah. It's a good one. Good call. You got the song right. It was originally a Hendrix song, I think. Stevie covered it. What a week. He's not paying attention. He's looking at the live chat. He's setting up the chats. I can tell.
I'm trying to like, Kieran, we need the pop out chat.
Kieran, you know, this is.
I texted him. Pop out chat. Noster live chat, rhr.tv/stream. Join us there. You don't need Noster to join us there. You can create that. Shit's popping off in the live chat. But talking about live issues, pull requests, the BitAx guys shipped my feature request over the last week.
The Wi-Fi thing?
Yeah, my Wi-Fi automatically turns off every night, and now it gracefully handles that and reconnects in the morning. Love to see it.
Beautiful thing.
The power.
This show has power. This show has power. We make on-air pull requests. We don't even have to go to GitHub. Okay.
Pull requests. I didn't even give them any code.
Speaking of which, you can't see it, and somebody watched the Kathy Wood interview that I released this morning. And notice that there's enough space on the bookshelf here for a BitAx, so I think we will be putting a BitAx on the bookshelf at some point in the near future.
Do you have one?
No, I need to get one.
Use it to replace the plant.
The plant was terrible. The plant's dead. It was looking terrible.
What does that have to do with the Kathy interview?
Because somebody took a screenshot of that interview and said, hey,
this
bookshelf looks like you could use a BitAx here.
Oh, there you go.
Good spot for BitAx.
Yeah, average Gary's in the comments.
yeah, fuck you, Logan.
I pull it up as soon as someone asks.
I bought my BitAx from him. To those listening on the audio stream, Logan just pulled up. What's the URL?
HasMartyZapped.today.
And he apparently has.
I'm the most prolific zapper. There's not going to be a day that goes by where I don't zap. I would lose the title. Speaking of which, do you have that on the list?
What? Have you zapped today?
No. Was it MasterCard released?
No.
Their payment protocol? It's like, oh, no, Noster did this better.
We're only covering important news.
Yeah. I mean, it is important because we can highlight that Noster does it better.
Honestly, because I'm not on Twitter, I didn't even know that existed until I was scrolling through.
I put it on Noster.
Twitter account trying to.
I put it on Noster. It's on Noster. Seems like I'm not in your feed.
Thanks for cross posting that.
Yeah. All right. Let's jump into it. Clark's dashboard. Where are we standing? A little pump today, freaks. $69,120. One cuck buck's going to get you 1,447 sats. We are at block height 845,806. We are currently 914 blocks away from the next difficulty adjustment, which is estimated to be on June 5th. So that is next Wednesday. Estimated adjustment right now is an upwards adjustment of 2.2%. If you recall, last week it was much higher than that, so more blocks have come in. And this is a better estimate, so around 2.2% upwards right now. Blocks been coming in at 9 minutes and 45 seconds on average. Clark's newly endowed mempool is showing 174,660 transactions. Mempool.space is showing 239,200 transactions.
Marty, when are mempools going to clear again?
Let's see. 195 blocks.
With no
45 sats per V-byte for high priority. V's have gone up this week. It was around between 10 and 15 earlier this week.
I'm still waiting to do UTXO management because Marty told me fees were going to go down and mempools were going to clear.
I mean, 10 sats per V-byte was pretty low compared to where they've been. Okay.
Yeah, I clearly did not wait. I took advantage of that.
Yeah. So that's that. And that's the state of the network right now.
So I put Trump in the title. I want to talk about Trump.
Let's talk about Trump.
What's your opinion?
Again, it's been a busy week here, so I've just been catching clips, headlines. It seems obvious at both sides of the aisle have recognized Bitcoin and broader crypto as a voting block to pander to, and now they're in a competition to pander harder. Trump.
Really, both sides of the aisle?
Did you see Biden's going down to El Salvador for the inauguration now?
Is he really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. It's happening this week.
Yeah.
When did he announce that?
I think earlier today.
I'm surprised Bukele's allowing him in the country.
All right.
I mean, the way I look at it is, and I, you know, if you've been listening to RHR for long enough, I try and stay out of politics, and I'm mostly disenfranchised by the U.S. political system. And I think we should focus on actionable change and things we can actually control. And that's why the open source movement makes me so optimistic and bullish, because it's true, real, actionable change. It empowers individuals. All that said, what we've witnessed over the last 2 years is essentially the current government in place in America politically persecuting Bitcoiners and shitcoiners alike. Like, I don't think it's an overstatement to call it political persecution. That's exactly what it is. So to have the front runner of this next election come out in full support of Bitcoin self-custody and freeing Ross on day one is a breath of fresh air, regardless of whether or not we believe he will follow through on that. I mean, that is yet to be seen.
Yeah.
I think, you know, net net, it's obviously better than him not saying it. I mean, I put some clips. I wish the clips were one clip, but like, can we just play the two clips from the Libertarian Party National Convention, Logan?
And if you vote for me on day one, I will commute the sentence of Ross Ulbricht to a sentence of time served.
Ooh, doggy.
So Ross is not aware that have been living under a rock. Ross is the founder of Silk Road, who's been in jail for 11 years now. Probably the, you know, the first Bitcoiner subject to political persecution. And now can we play the second clip?
Marty sent me another of the same clip.
Did you put the same clip in a...
Put them both in the...
No, the, yeah.
I only see one.
No, there's two. I'll copy and paste here real quick. That's the right one.
There's two of them in the list.
At the bottom.
Oh, it's at the bottom?
Yeah. No, it was at the top, but you're just not paying attention to detail, Logan. You didn't see that.
Logan needs a new arrow that says I'm not a producer.
Well, this is... I would argue this is part of moving to Signal instead of Slack.
Slack is spyware.
I mean, for what we're doing...
I will ensure that the future of crypto and the future of Bitcoin will be made in the USA, not driven overseas. I will support the right to self-custody to the nation's 50 million crypto holders. I say this with your vote. I will keep Elizabeth Warren and her goons away from your Bitcoin. And I will never allow the creation of a central bank digital currency.
There you go, freaks.
Yeah. I love to see it. I echo what you said as the preface to your comments on his comments, which is I am disenfranchised politically as well, but it is good to see.
I can't believe Biden's going to the inauguration. The optimistic take, right, was Trump making this move would force Democratic leadership to also pander to Bitcoiners. But we did see, I do have in the list, like there was a bill that the White House promised they were going to veto that they backtracked on, which was like the first sign of that. I think that's the bank bill. I don't know. All this shit is so convoluted. But anyway, I don't really care about the bank bill, to be honest. But there's also the other side, right, which is just they see Trump support something and then they go even harder in the opposite direction. So that's, I guess, good to see.
Yeah. No, it seems pretty clear with the change of the winds on Capitol Hill, particularly for the SAB 121 and the FIT 21 bills, where many Democrats crossed the aisle and said, no, we're going to vote for this.
Yeah, that's the bill I'm talking about. Is the FIT 21 the...
There's two of them, SAB 121 and FIT 21. SAB 121 is about the banks being able to custody Bitcoin and other crypto assets, and then FIT 21 was the one Emmer snuck in the right to self-custody into that bill, but it's also, I think, handing domain of oversight to these assets to the CFTC exclusively. Which I've seen some lawyers say is probably not in the best interest of the industry, but Logan, put it up. We are not lawyers, so do not take that.
Not lawyers.
That's just what I'm hearing the lawyers talk about.
Just stay on the stack. Learn how to use Bitcoin yourself and hold it securely.
I mean, the meme potential out of this is very easy. Orange man, good for orange coin. Very simple. It's been said many times, but now it seems abundantly clear. And
well, I mean, I think regardless,
let's see if he overpromises, underdelivers, or underpromises, overdelivers. I mean, all this is nice, but nothing has happened. Who knows?
Yeah, and he was horrible during his, like, in terms of it came out that they were thinking about like assassinating Assange and. But did you see on Tim Pool, he actually said that he's considering an Assange pardon, but that's also probably bullshit. I wouldn't hold your breath on that. But
what I'm most interested to see is if he becomes president this time around. I think the biggest roadblock for Bitcoin in the industry during his first term was Steve Mnuchin as Treasury Secretary. So this time around, whoever gets put in that position will send a lot of signal.
And betting odds say that I'm not going to share anything more, but say that we might get a Bitcoiner in that seat, which would be pretty fucking massive. Yeah, I mean, all things aside, regardless of any promises or any promises it keeps, there's, I think, a very strong argument that, going after Bitcoin and Bitcoiners is like last on Trump's priority list, even before this speech. Like he's got like a list of enemies that is, yeah, you know, like a Bible's length long. And Bitcoiners aren't on that list. So presumably his focus would be elsewhere. But yeah, we'll see how it plays out. But I mean, that is by far, I think like the influencers and stuff that are saying like it's a non-story are full of shit. And I think like the people that are going to the opposite extreme are also full of shit. But it's a really big deal, I think.
Yeah. Let me see if this translates to signal. Yeah, pull it up, Logan. Oh, no. I don't know if it did translate. But yeah, Trump's essentially going to be Ari Gold in Entourage in the scene where he comes out of the elevator with the paintball gun. He's like, fuck you, you're out.
One of the best TV scenes of all time.
That's a PNG.
It's a PNG, my bad. I thought it was a GIF.
We're working on it here, guys. Yeah. In 5 years, we'll get our shit together.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, I mean,
not together. I will say, like, it would be really, like, Ross deserves to be out of jail. And if he doesn't do it at this point, that would, like, I really feel for Ross. Like, he's got, all of a sudden, he has, like, hope on his side.
Well, and he tweeted. Did you see Ross tweeted?
Yeah, how does that work? Does he, like,
I think he sends messages. Something? Yeah, I think when he has phone calls, he can say, tweet this out or something like that.
Send tweet. Do you think he says send tweet at the end?
I wouldn't be surprised. But here's Ross's tweet. Last night, Donald Trump pledged to commute my sentence on day one if reelected. Thank you, thank you, thank you. After 11 years in prison, it is hard to express how I feel at this moment. It is thanks to your undying support that I may get a second chance.
Biden should just Trump and just do it today or tomorrow. We know he's listening, right? He's like on the flight to El Salvador. He listens.
Yeah, he's on the flight. He's like, all right, now I got to get caught up on Bitcoin. What sources do I go to? And they're like, oh, there's this awesome show every Thursday called Rabbit Hole Recap.
He's definitely not in the Nostra live chat, though. He's probably in the YouTube chat.
Yes. And if you're listening, Joe, what were you doing rolling out Robert De Niro? Like, that was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. They did like the Biden campaign did like a press conference outside the courtroom in New York where Trump's being persecuted now, I would say, and rolled out Robert De Niro in a mask. He's wearing like a COVID mask and saying, just like trying to leverage celebrity to sway perception of Trump. It was very weird. And your daughter said that her diary was legit. And the things in that diary, I do have some questions. What was going on?
Free Ross.
Next on the list, Samurai Devs had their first court hearing, or at least Keon did. The prosecution promises substantial evidence. And I said only Keon did because T-Dev is presumably still in Portugal. I don't think anybody has had contact with him since he was arrested last month.
Yeah, I mean, we're not lawyers and we have no non-public information involving this case. I believe my understanding is extradition does take some time, even in like best case scenarios. Lola, a Bitcoiner and an investigative journalist, tried to get information on T-Dev and she was stonewalled left and right, which is troubling.
Yeah, she said, I just called Policia Judicaria. Mispronounced that. Please forgive me. And the stonewalling is insane. After identifying myself as a journalist, the officer's tone completely changed. She told me I was not entitled to any information and even refused to give her name. I've never experienced anything like this. In terms of Keon's appearance in the Southern District of New York, SNDY gave some infos today, but it's definitely below expectations for press freedom in the EU. Oh, wait, I'm reading the wrong one. The prosecution mentioned they are still extracting data from Rodriguez's confiscated electronic devices, but will provide significant discovery from the information obtained so far. They also noted that Rodriguez has yet to hand over a 2-terabyte hard drive without specifying its contents. So
I didn't understand that part. It's like, but so they presumably like raided his house with a SWAT team, like confiscated all his shit. But they know there's a 2-terabyte hard drive that they don't have. I just didn't. That part was
maybe it's encrypted and he hasn't.
But how did they know it exists?
It just hasn't been. Yeah, I don't know.
It was kind of weird wording, right?
Yeah.
And like he's out on bail. Presumably he's got like a ankle monitor or some shit. But they can't get the hard drive. I don't know. It's weird. If you want to support their case and the legal defense of future open source contributors, you can go to p2prights.org. You can get a tax deduction if you want that, or you can donate anonymously with Bitcoin. If you want a tax deduction, you need to put in personal information so you can actually get that tax receipt. That's how tax deductions work.
Yeah.
p2prights.org.
Beware, freaks. Beware. Next up on the list, Zappo Bank enables Bitcoin deposits via the Lightning Network. I thought this was old news. Did they just tease it? Officially announce it? No?
It's partnership live. I think it's like finally live in partnership with Lightspark. It's not the most surprising news since Zappo Bank is Wences Cesaris's company. and he's a long-term Bitcoiner. But I mean, I guess it's good to see. Lightning deposits specifically are really fantastic because they settle instantly, and you have pretty strong privacy guarantees if you are depositing via Lightning. So it seemed positive, and that's why I put it there.
I mean, it's good to see.
But I don't really know about Zappo Bank, and they do have like a quote here where they're like, it makes it easier to earn yields on your assets, which is just usually a massive red flag. So don't trust banks with your Bitcoin, freaks. Oh, okay. Brian Gibson in the comments is saying Biden is sending a delegation to El Salvador. He isn't going himself. Thank you for keeping Marty honest.
I'm sorry.
Sometimes he railroads me with breaking news that I'm not verifying, so I appreciate that. That's a little bit different.
It's a little different.
Well,
that's on me. That's a hand up. That's on me.
I mean, because he always sends delegations down there, right? Like, I mean, we have an embassy down there. I remember when all the suits were like assailing Bukele in the early days, like the U.S. ambassador was always in the meetings. Like oftentimes the U.S. ambassador was in the meetings. There's also another comment here from Tubby saying, met Lionel Shriver at a book festival in Wales on Tuesday. Mentioned Odell shouting out mandibles every episode. She said, yeah, my book seems popular with Bitcoiners.
That's it? Oh, ouch.
Marty question mark is also he put there.
That's all she said? She didn't say, I love Matt? Look, he's great. He's a great advocate for my book. He's probably driven tens of thousands of book sales.
Yeah, what about the fact that she owns over a Bitcoin?
Nothing. Wow.
She holds her own keys. She's a Bitcoin.
So, I'd feel a little besmirched if I were you.
Look.
This is cool to see.
I know you're a Lionel hater, but
I'm not a Lionel hater. She's a lovely woman. I was in a live chat when you recorded with her.
You were.
This was cool to see. Marathon enters an agreement with the Kenyan government to enhance its renewable energy sector. This is an official partnership between a publicly traded miner here in the U.S. and the government of Kenya, which would like to utilize its excess energy capacity and expand its energy capacity using Bitcoin mining as a mechanism to do both those things. A validation of the game theory, which we have been explaining and describing here on this show for almost 6 years now. It's playing out. And it's really interesting to see this public-private partnership, too. And it makes sense. The government's not going to know how to run mining operations efficiently, as has been proven in Venezuela. So it would make sense for the Kenyan government to partner with Marathon and go for this. And they have a lot of excess energy, from what I understand.
Pretty cool to see.
I don't think they put out any hard numbers in the announcement. Oversee an $80 million project to start. So nothing too massive, but a step in the right direction. Game theory is playing out. I spoke earlier on a panel hosted by Kraken's institutional desk on mining. Fireside chat with Austin Mitchell, Matt Williams from Luxor, Austin from Sonoda, and myself. Really good questions, really good really good discussion. One of the questions was, are people worried about M&A season here in the United States and the mining industry in particular driving hash rate centralization in the U.S., and not only jurisdictionally in the U.S., but among less players, and actually responded with, this Marathon Kenya partnership, I think the combination of rack space and electrical infrastructure being relatively tight here in the United States and more of these governments beginning to wake up to the fact that they need a Bitcoin strategy in mining is a very good strategy, especially if you're energy rich, is going to prevent that. I think the mad dash for Bitcoin across the world is beginning to pick up.
On the opposite side of that argument is the next story on our list, which Riot appears to have attempted the first hostile takeover in Bitcoin history.
Is it the first?
I think so. I mean, we haven't had publicly traded miners for very long. Has there been others?
I don't think so. This might be the first. I'm trying to think of like Hut 8 Bitfury. I think that was amicable.
Riot acquired nearly 10% stake in Bitfarms, a much smaller publicly traded miner, and is attempting to buy them out, made an offer of $950 million. Bitfarms board rejected it. Now it's public information. I think this has to be public regardless, but Riot made it public.
No, yeah, it's public. If you buy the stock, you have to, I mean, maybe you can wait a bit to disclose it, but some more context.
You have to admit your stake.
Yeah. Yes.
But I don't know about I guess when they make an offer to buy the whole company, I think they have to make that public.
Yeah. And to add context to this particular story, the CEO, the former CEO now of Bitfarms, left abruptly, I believe last month or the month before, and is suing the board for malfeasance, I believe. And so I think what's happening here is Riot potentially saw that Bitfarms was in a state of relative weakness and decided to step in. But the market reaction to this is basically saying Riot lowballed Bitfarms at almost an insulting level. And so that's probably why the board rejected the offer. And
yeah, it seems like a lowball to me.
Yeah.
This would go in direct opposition to your comment, right? That there are going to be.
I'm not saying there's not going to be big consolidation. I think that's a foregone conclusion. I just don't think. I think the expansion of hash rate outside of U.S. borders and outside of these companies that are merging and being hostily taken over will mitigate the centralization risk.
Yeah, I mean, I had a great conversation off the record with the CEO of one of the larger publicly traded miners here at the park last month. And I'm pretty much operating under the conclusion that, at least percentage-wise, I think publicly traded miners have more or less maxed out. Like the growth from this point forward is going to be a lot slower. If anything, as percentage of total hash, like their hash rate will continue to increase. But I'm a little bit less concerned than I used to be about too much of the hash rate being controlled by publicly traded miners.
Yeah, and this is a product of more optionality entering equity markets in terms of how people who want to get Bitcoin exposure via equity markets increasing. So now they have more options. Historically, I think miners have had a sort of Goldilocks period between 2020, or when you go back further, like 2018 and 2023 is probably the end of it, where they were the only equities that people could buy that would give them proxy exposure to Bitcoin. And now with the emergence
of ETFs.
Yeah, there's no ETFs, MicroStrategy. People weren't confident in their strategy, and now they're significantly confident in that strategy. You have publicly traded energy companies announcing that they're putting Bitcoin in their treasury. We had that healthcare company come out earlier this week and announced that they're putting Bitcoin on their balance sheet, and their stock went up like 40% that day.
Do you see what Bailey's been doing? He's like, he buys a decent percentage of an established publicly traded foreign company and then has them convert to a MicroStrategy strategy.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Metaplanet or whatever.
I didn't know that was public. That was a strategy. Cause Metaplanet, like,
he tweets Dylan, about.
Well, now that we're talking about it, like, I just assumed that Dylan had taken a position at Metaplanet and was acting as an advisor. I didn't realize that,
I'm pretty BTC sure they Inc. They buy a bunch of, I mean, look, I have no private information on this front. But someone sent me like someone sent me a tweet of Bailey, I think today or yesterday, saying like we're gonna repeat the Metaplanet playbook across the whole world.
With it makes sense. I actually don't. I think it's a smart idea.
I mean, I think every company in the world should focus on accumulating as much Bitcoin as possible. We talk about that with our portfolio companies all the time at 1031. I think every individual should be focused on accumulating as much Bitcoin as possible. I think prudent governments should be focused on accumulating as much Bitcoin possible. And that has nothing to do with whether or not I agree with who those people are, because, you know, Bitcoin is designed that people you don't trust or people that are your enemies are also able to use the system without trust. So people are going to start to wake up to that. But to your point earlier, yeah, I mean, I think it's a combination of that for publicly traded miners, that there was, you know, no easy access for suits to like buy Bitcoin, Charles Schwab.
Let me add one important detail to that, which is the fact that they were the only proxy exposure allowed them to go raise a shit ton of capital at the market and via debt markets. Yeah.
They also had access to easy debt at very low rates. And also there were a lot of lenders that were doing ASIC collateralized loans, which is like the worst fucking collateral you can use for loans. Trust me. Yeah. That's what I was going to say as well. Great minds.
I think that's going to be, it's good we're talking about this because I literally just sat on the panel for an hour and talked about all this. But I think for the publicly traded Bitcoin miners, that is going to be the focus during this next cycle, is recognizing that, hey, you're not the only chick on the block anymore. People have way more options, and some of these options are way better because mining businesses come with an extreme level of execution risk. You're going to have to diversify your revenue streams away from prop mining. But to supplement the prop mining.
Yeah, it's one of the hardest businesses in the world, full stop. Oh. Margins are tight, incredibly difficult to manage risk. They're competing in a global free market. It's a brutal business. Yeah. Shout out to Mav21 in the Noster live chat with his 42,000 sat zap. We appreciate it.
Love you, Mav. Shout out to you too. I noticed you, Mav, being the first to comment on every bent on the website. It makes me, I get a flutter in my stomach when I see that Mav has commented on a post. So thanks for your support for RHR, Marty's bent. Everything. Thank you for the zap. Next on the list, Bitcoin spot ETFs now manage over 1 million Bitcoin. That happened quickly. BlackRock has officially flipped Grayscale as well.
Ha, fuck you, Barry.
So they're what? Once they get to 1,200,000, that means they have 5% of every Bitcoin that will ever exist.
Pretty crazy how quick that happened.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I think the SEC waited till after Rabbit Hole Recap to approve the Ethereum ETFs.
Did they officially approve it?
I don't know. It's a little bit confusing. But I was going with it is, fortunately, very deliberate, Bitcoin is not a proof of stake network. So owning more Bitcoin doesn't give you more influence over the protocol. So while you hate to see some of the most evil suits in the world in BlackRock hold so much Bitcoin, that does not negatively affect other stakeholders in the network because we're not proof of stake. Now, they could presumably just dump it all on the market and cause short-term price pressure. But in the grand scheme of things, they really, having more Bitcoin does not give them more influence.
No. I had a debate about this last night with somebody and they couldn't grok that. There's a lot of shit coiners in town right now.
They won't realize it until ETH becomes the case study and why proof of stake is fucking horrible. as a consensus mechanism for something that is attempting to be the base of a distributed global financial network.
Yeah, they're not set up well. And like, I think it feels like ETH is just a completely aimless project right now. But alas, this is not an ETH podcast. It's a Bitcoin podcast. Speed Wallet implements KYC for US-based wallet users. I didn't even know what Speed Wallet was. What is it?
So I found out about Speed Wallet because they were the main sponsor of Swan's halving stream a month ago or whenever the halving was. But they're a custodial closed source Bitcoin wallet based out of Dubai. And to everyone that gives shit to companies that are pulling out of the US due to regulatory concerns, this is the alternative, and this is the much worse alternative, which is holding people's assets hostage and forcing them to do KYC to get their Bitcoin. It's incredibly malicious, and it's fucked up. It's just fucked up. There's nothing really else to say there.
Here's the email. We're reaching out to inform you of an important update regarding our services in the United States. We want to assure our customers that the Speed team is committed to take all measures necessary to ensure compliance and provide a seamless Bitcoin payment experience to its users in the U.S. As an immediate measure, Speed Bitcoin Lightning Wallet will be implementing KYC for all users based in the U.S. Our new update will go live soon. Any information collected during the KYC process will be handled with confidentiality and in accordance with applicable data protection regulations. We deeply value our user community, and we're dedicated to ensuring that our services meet the highest standards of user experience and business continuity. If you have any questions or concerns regarding this update, please don't hesitate to reach out to our support team. Immediately.
And it's like the worst part too, is like, we're doing it for your own good. Yeah. You're welcome.
Do you want continuity? Huh? Take a selfie with your passport, please, and upload it.
I looked up their business address. I guess in Dubai, they just have like, there's like malls or like, and I think it might be at the airport. It's just like a
P.O. box.
Yeah.
On the other end of the spectrum, on the same topic, HODL is blocking U.S. users from accepting its lending platform.
Accessing. But, yeah, I mean, look, this is like how you do it if you're going to do it, right? Which is you give people advance notice. You say they can finish out their current loans and that you will be moving out of the market.
Yeah. Shout out to the HODL team.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a hard decision, but there weren't that many people using the Lend product in the United States as it was. And there was a massive amount of risk about offering it. So it's really hard to fault them. And I will say once again to the Peanut Gallery, giving shit to like the Phoenix Wallet team or the Ibex team, or in this case, the HODL team about pulling out. If you're not in the hot seat, you can't talk shit. Like, it's completely different when you're like looking at your children and you're like, am I going to be in the gulag tomorrow? And you have to make a decision. And I will not give shit to anyone who makes that decision. And once again, you know, I think it's more beneficial for users than to do the shotgun KYC approach. Significantly. It's not even close.
No. And for any of you that didn't catch that, that was Matt's version of you're not in the arena. Okay. Okay.
Don't put that on me. Fuck your mom.
You can stop heckling the Winklevi twins though.
Look,
Gemini Hearn is
I'm a man of honor and integrity. I put it in the list. And I think they only posted it on Twitter too, so I went out of my way. I even linked to Twitter to give them props. Props where props are due. As Marty always says.
Yes. So Gemini is officially giving earn customers their Bitcoin back. So today we are pleased to 97%.
There's better still than 3%. Keep in mind.
Still 3% left to go. Today, we are pleased to announce that initial earned distributions, approximately 97% of digital assets owed to you as of the suspension date, November 16, 2022, are now available in your Gemini account. Collectively, earn users are receiving 2.18 billion of their digital assets in kind, which is very important. These initial distributions represent 97% of digital assets owed to you, 1 billion more than when Genesis halted withdrawals, 232% recovery from when Genesis halted withdrawals. Initial distributions are in kind, meaning that if you lent one Bitcoin in the EARN program, you will receive one Bitcoin back, and it means that you will receive any and all increase in the value of your assets since you lent them into the EARN program. You can expect to receive your remaining asset balance within the next 12 months. So that 3% looks like it will be coming back in the next 12 months. And the COO of Gemini, he's a good friend of mine. Actually helped prep him for his Gemini interview. We worked together at Barstool, Marshall Beard. Talked to him last night. He was very, very relieved. And I'm happy for him and the Gemini team and the customers.
I think they really deserve credit for making sure it's in kind, right? One Bitcoin is one Bitcoin rather than one Bitcoin at like whatever the price was at the time that they halted, which I think was like $19,000 or $17,000 or something, which is what happened to FTX bankruptcy recipients. It was the price at the time rather than in kind, which is fucked up. I will say that, you know, a lot of the FTX people were like holding it in stablecoins. So, you know, shitcoiners have just different philosophies there. But if you were holding one Bitcoin, you're going to apparently get 97 million sats back. Which is good to see. It's important to realize here that Barry completely got his ass saved by the SEC and allowing GBTC to become an ETF and charge 1.5% on his ETF, just milk money out of that thing and bring it back up to par because it was trading at a discount. So it appears that Barry successfully did the delay approach and is digging himself out of the hole that he got himself into. And it's yet to be seen if there'll be any kind of criminal charges or anything like that.
Good outcome for the end users. Happy for everybody who got their Bitcoin back. Did I read that correctly? Did they also get the interest that they would have gotten?
So they got it appears that way.
Because like double the Bitcoin back.
No, but it might just, they didn't get double the Bitcoin back.
It's like 237%, isn't it?
Yeah, because Bitcoin went up that much.
Oh.
The Gemini guys are being a little bit by denominating USD by saying they get, you know, over $2 billion back. They're just highlighting the in-kind aspect. I don't think they got the interest.
Okay.
But maybe, I don't know. Oh. Anyway, it was important to cover that.
Yeah. Props where props are due. Men of honor on this show.
Oh, also in terms of honor and integrity, I implore everyone to listen to Peter's conversation with Michael Saylor. They go deep on his philosophy on open source development and Bitcoin protocol development specifically. They do touch on the controversy surrounding some of the Wall Street firms that he discussed things with. I think first of all, to all the people that called me a liar when I said that certain ETFs were told by Saylor not to support open source contributors, you can go fuck yourself. He's the source now. You can just listen to the episode. But to go further on that, I would say, you know, I agree with almost everything he said in that episode. In terms of protocol development, like I think protocol development should be incredibly conservative. I think we should have a slow and steady approach. I've never advocated for a single soft fork proposal. I will say that I think the argument that we don't want shitcoiners funding Bitcoin protocol development makes a lot of sense on the surface. I think the answer though is not a lack of fun, is just not doing anything. I think the answer is we need ethical, efficient, transparent vehicles that do fund developers that are working on Bitcoin in a prudent, responsible way. Because at the end of the day, the shitcoiners have way more money than Bitcoiners in terms of dev funding. The suits have way more money than Bitcoiners in terms of dev funding. And if we don't provide responsible, smart, prudent developers a ethical path, many of them will choose the opposite, will choose the alternative. And that's the reason OpenSats exists. That's the reason 1031 exists. You know, 1031 is by far the largest player in the Bitcoin-only venture space. You know, we're the largest shareholder of Strike. We've deployed the most money. We've deployed $125 million into the Bitcoin space. We have 36 portfolio companies. Not a single one of them is expecting any kind of protocol change. You know, we're supporting builders in the space that are trying to build on top of Bitcoin in a conservative, responsible fashion. And then you have something like Farcaster, which is just a shitcoin version of Twitter that is centralized, pretending to be decentralized, and doesn't have that many active users. And they raised $150 million alone, right? So like... The discrepancy is massive. And then you have something like OpenSats, which I think for a lot of, you know, when you're talking about protocol dev, like obviously they're not going to give up equity to a venture fund or something like that, nor should they. When you're talking about open source wallets that are built on top of it, or protocols like Cashew that are built on top of it, they, you know, the prudent move is not to take equity-based funding. And some, in many cases, they can't take equity-based funding. In many cases, they can't monetize their projects. You do want transparent orgs that are there to fund them and provide them a way to feed their families, have reliable income. And when you talk about that, it's like OpenSats has made waves. You know, we're very grateful to Jack Dorsey for his two massive donations totaling $31 million. But once again, pales in comparison. Like rumor is like Ripple just donated $25 million to Trump's campaign. Like it's not even fucking close. And what I would like to see is I would like to see many avenues of ethical funding. Like I want to see 1,000 flowers bloom. I want to see other orgs. You know, there are multiple other orgs besides OpenSats that are doing great work, HRF, Brink, Chain Code, among others. There are other venture firms that are also trying to fund, you know, Bitcoin startups in the space, which is great to see. I want to see direct funding. I think Zaps on Nostr are a huge avenue for that. I think it's still a little bit early. I think if you just look at the numbers, it just doesn't really add up to something that someone can rely on. You talk about, you know, like taking care of your family is expensive nowadays. Like people... Like they need to put food on the table. So yeah, that's how I look at it. And yeah, I it's important and it needs to be said I don't believe there was ever a spat between me and Saylor. But if you believed that there was personal animosity or something to those effects, you're just mistaken.
Iron sharpens iron, you know?
I think we're aligned on most things.
When you're in the arena, you know, you gotta check everybody. You gotta make sure, hey.
Fuck you in the arena shit. The last person I want to emulate is Chamath. I think Chamath is the exact, you know.
Did you dump your Solana bag yet?
You should model your life on the exact opposite of Chamath. Whatever that is how we should model stuff.
The Completely agree. I think the distinction between protocol changes and funding devs working on protocol changes and maintenance, dev kits, libraries, and projects like PageJoin and stuff like that need to be separated. And it's hard because people conflate funding of Bitcoin development with funding of consensus changes, which is obviously not the case in most cases. In some cases it is, but in most cases it's not. And I was a part of an event earlier this week, Chatham House Rules, so I won't say any specifics about who was there, but I can talk about what was talked about. And when it comes down to like Bitcoin Core contributors, like actually working on maintenance, review, fuzz testing, all that stuff, it's really around 40 people, which is insane, who are like doing a lion's share of the work.
And I've talked about this in previous episodes. Like we have, like they're getting burnt out. I'm getting burnt out. A lot of us are getting burnt out, and the replacement rate is insufficient. Like I like to think about it like birth rate, you know, it's insufficient. Like people are dying before new devs are born. And it's a real problem. It's an existential problem. And I think, you know, but I think we're trending in the right direction. I don't want people to think mission accomplished, meme, you know, mission accomplished GW on the thing, on the aircraft carrier. But you can just look at the numbers. Like we tried to model OpenSat specifically, we saw a lot of the problems with like the Linux Foundation, the Bitcoin Foundation, you know, tons of foundations throughout time. And they, a lot of times they just come down to, they just get extremely corrupt and it becomes an issue, right? So OpenSat's at its core, we have 9 board members. People said that was crazy. But why do we have 9 board members? Because it makes it a little bit more corruption resistant, right? You need 5 of 9 to approve any grant. If any single individual becomes corrupted, the organization as a whole still has integrity. And the other board members can vote out a corrupted board member. The other thing we've done is make it 100% pass-through. So we don't take any cut of any of the donations to the general fund or to the Nostr fund. We are funded separately from an organizational fund, and that pays GG and a few part-time employees. And then last but not least, we're incredibly transparent about who we fund. And right now we have over 120 outstanding donations. That includes 9 core developers, core contributors, people working on Bitcoin Core, the project. Some of them are doing review. Some of them are doing maintenance. Some of them are doing, as you said, you know, security testing and fuzz testing. And then we have 120, almost 120 devs that are not involved in the protocol at all. And they're working on top of the protocol on other things. And not a single one of those nearly 130 grant recipients is working on bringing shitcoins to Bitcoin or any kind of hostile soft fork. So the numbers speak for themselves. I would just, whether it's on the legal defense side, whether it's on the education side, whether it's just giving a local dev a hug, I think we need to support our open source contributors because we can't rely on closed source, company-owned tools to provide freedom. I think that's what the Snowden leaks showed the whole world. And the answer is open source, because open source is not controlled by a single individual. It's not controlled by a company. It can't be pressured by a government. It's viral in nature. It's going to outlive us all. And that's where my hope comes from. Mandibles than Bitcoin Standard.
Had to sneak it in there. Had to sneak it in there.
For you, Marty.
Yeah. I mean, you guys are doing incredible work. I have hung out with Lisa a lot this week, who's obviously a board member of OpenSats, and I think the efforts that she's doing separately from OpenSats at Base 58 with BTC++, Bitcoin++, go a long way. We need to educate devs on how Bitcoin works, how they can contribute, and
Base 58 and others like them, Chaincode, are doing great work in that regard. But we could use more. We can always use more. All right. Up next is software updates. So that means up next is actually Boost from last week's episode. And Matt, did you read the Boost? I have a question. Did you read the Boost? Yeah.
No, I like to be surprised.
Okay. Man of honor? Did you not read the Boost?
I have not read the Boost, but sometimes I think I should just in case, because I feel like you leave out the ones that make you look bad and make me look good. Like, I should probably be verifying. I assume the freaks will let me know if you skip a Boost.
They will. They will. All right. Top four Boosts from Trump should have used BTC Pay. Rabbit Hole Recap 306. Yeah.
You still can't accept Bitcoin donations. You should
At Pringle Stacks boosted 44,444 sats, fours across the board. Palindrome Boost, stay humble, stack sats. On a final note, no fear, just freedom. Love you both. Love you too, Pringle Stacks.
Thank you.
At NACAS Immersion boosted 33,333 sats, threes across the board. Palindrome Boost, yo Marty. 1-to-1 is enough for your ref link on the newsletter. I only have one friend and I referred them. Thanks. Thank you. Immersion.
Like, you needed a ref link to refer your one friend. Why don't you just tell him about the brand before that?
You can tell more friends. We're still working on iterating on that product, by the way. At Eric99, boosted 25,000 sats. Stay humble, stack sats.
Great advice.
At BTC NIM boosted 12,345 sats. 12345. I've noticed a trend as Matt has acquired a family. He has been telling less people to go fuck themselves. This is my favorite part of the show. I'm hoping you have someone in mind off the top of your head that's getting under your skin. And if you can't think of anyone, use my friend Noah. After all, he doesn't listen to this show, so I guess he deserves it.
No, I'm not going to tell Noah to go fuck himself. But I already told a large group of people, almost half of Bitcoin Twitter. So
that's why I had to ask if you read the Boost. I didn't know if you read the Boost. Okay.
For a couple episodes, I tried to stop cursing. But it's not going to happen.
It's hard. It's hard.
I still think my favorite story is my grandmother asking me how we haven't been kicked off the radio yet.
Wait, what was the...
She's over 90 years old.
What was the... Was it your grandmother or your mom? When sausage?
That was my mom. I was from my grandma's house.
Didn't she just like hold up a note, when sausage?
Yeah. My grandmother said, I curse so much. How have you not gotten kicked off the radio? Actually, for some context, by the way, just on life, I had a great conversation with my grandmother. And when they moved to the States, their decision was, they said, if there is a major global war every 20 years, where do we want to be? So it's very easy for us to get depressed by the 24-hour news cycle of rage bait or the 15-minute news cycle of rage bait on Twitter, which has gotten even more compressed. But at least for most of us, I mean, I'm not pretending there's no wars around the world. There's plenty of wars around the world. But for most of us, we've had the fortune or the privilege of living in a time where we don't have to make a calculation like that. Like, where am I going to move if there's going to be another major war in 20 years?
Geographically, two oceans, somewhat friendly neighbor to the north. Don't know about the neighbor to the south as much.
Canada's basic ocean, right? It's like three oceans in Mexico.
Yeah. Mexico, who knows? Maybe... Cartels are scary. So beware. Thank you guys for boosting last week's episode. Thank you guys for participating in the Zap.stream live stream and zapping us as you listen and watch and comment. Winsome Hacks is trying to stir some trouble between us. I'm not screwing you.
Why?
I think he's trying to say that I'm not reading the Boost. In order.
Marty is secretly screwing you. That's pretty funny. You should include a zap next time.
You should. All right, on to software updates. We're going to blow through these. I know there's at least one that we have to stop and talk about. You don't even have it on here. Jesus Christ.
Which one? Let's start with that one.
Mutiny Harbor.
Oh, did they do it?
They did it. They did the damn thing. They released it today.
Pretty excited about this.
Yeah, I am too. I've been watching them build it here in the comments.
It's a brand new desktop wallet they wrote from scratch in like 3 weeks. Check it out.
Here, you can put a link.
I know they were rushing to get it out publicly before Rabbit Hole Recap.
Yeah, they released it 2 hours ago. So
there you go. Well, I'm trying to use a decade ago, I deleted all social media except for Twitter. And then about 4 months ago, 5 months ago, I deleted Twitter. And now I'm Nostr only. But in general, especially now that my main focus is quickly becoming my family, I'm trying to use social media as little as possible. And it does make Rabbit Hole Recap a little bit more difficult for me. Because it's a little bit counterintuitive. Like, I'd rather listen to Rabbit Hole Recap so I could even cut out even more social media and then just have Marty and Matt go through, you know, the important news of the week. So things are kind of, things will fall through the cracks in a greater fashion. Cause I do think that just social media and corporate social media particularly is just incredibly bad for the soul. And, you know, billions of people are addicted to it, and it's probably going to get worse before it gets better. And that's not a dark pill. That's just looking at reality and knowing there's light at the end of the tunnel. But I mean, just go into a restaurant or a bar or something, and like, there's like six people at a table and they're all just scrolling on their phones. Yeah. It was fucked up.
When we go out, I hand my phone to my wife and we put both our phones in our purse and just keep it under the table.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. I like that policy. I like that you don't trust yourself, but I trust your wife.
I don't trust myself. So I'm like, all right, put it in your purse.
So by the way, they got a great domain for that. That's harbor.cash. Also, I love the play on, it's like, you know, the pirate theme. Harbor's a good name.
Yeah. Oh, we've got something we should talk about. We're just reminded of.
The app is built on BDK. It's written in Rust. It has a Fediment focus. But the goal is to, you know, have this incredibly powerful desktop app.
Yeah, runs through Tor.
Yeah, that has a privacy and a freedom first focus.
Yeah. Mutiny has no idea who's using it, what's happening. They just released it.
But this is like a team. This is like another case, I think, where it's important to have no strings attached to open source funding, because they have no desire whatsoever to monetize this and no way of monetizing it. And so like, if you want powerful freedom focused software, it's increasingly becoming obvious in this, particularly in this regulatory environment, that it's not even just enough to have open source software that anyone can modify, run, distribute, monetize. But you also, by just simply monetizing it, even if it's in a non-controlled way, you open yourself up to liability. So, ideally they get donations directly from individuals that find it helpful. But in a world where that's not happening, it's important to have transparent orgs, that try and ethically and efficiently distribute those funds, to developers.
Yes. No, it's been really cool. I mean, I literally watched the Mutiny guys take this from a whiteboarding session two rooms down to this final product that we're talking about right now in a few weeks. They're animals on that team in a good way. Shout out to you guys. I'm sure I'll see you once I walk out this room.
And by the way, Tony, should have sent me a signal message when you launched it.
Luckily, Uncle Marty's here.
There you go.
Be on top of the launches. Break in the software updates. I think this is important. I want to congratulate you, Rod, Harry, everybody else at Bitcoin Park. You will be celebrating your second birthday in 2 days. 3 days. June 2nd. Or June 1st, 2 days.
That's pretty crazy. It's both been an incredibly long amount of time and a very short amount of time.
Yeah. Rod is asking, as a early birthday present, we've got 2 days. Let's see if we can get the meetup page over 2,000 people, currently standing at 1,948.
For Rod, you can follow the meetup page by going to bitcoinpark.com/meetup. And for me, meetup is a shitcoin. Fuck that shit.
Get it over 2,000, freaks.
I fucking hate meetup.com. Nostr's going to fix that.
Flockster, let's go. All right, back to the software updates. Let's blow through these. Cake Wallet version 4.18.0 has been released with Bitcoin Silent Payments. Electrum version 4.5.5 has been released with fixes and improvements. Spectre. Oh, wait.
Cake Wallet, Silent Payments seems like a big deal. And I misspoke when I said a couple episodes ago when Marty just like ninja'd Silent Payments on me. I said that they look like a regular Bitcoin address. They don't. It's just it's a reusable payment code with the trade-off that you have to scan the full chain to see if you have funds. But the goal is you just share this text string once, or you share a QR code once that never changes. And every time you get an on-chain payment, it goes to a new address, which makes it much easier, particularly to receive donations in a way that doesn't completely dox all of your holdings because you used a single fixed reused address. So yes. Really good to see.
Shout out to Cake Wallet. Shout out to everybody working on silent payments. We're going to win. Spectre desktop version 2.0.4 has been released with build fixes for Windows, Electron bug fixes as well. Bitbanana version 0.8.1 has been released with Core Lightning and LND hub support. Next Bitcoin version 0.0.108 has been released. Zeus version 0.9.0 alpha 5 has been released. You can purchase channels in advance. Bolt 12 offers are now live, and LN addresses for CLN have been added as well. Bolt 12, big conversation this week in Austin. I talked with Jeff from the Spiral team last night, and he assured me they're making a lot of progress within LDK to get better. Bolt 12 live. We need more people testing it out.
Let's fucking go.
No. Blockstream Green desktop version 2.0.6 has been released with QR unlock for Jade. BISC 2 version 2.0.4 has been released with an offer book list and Tor improvements. Stratum V2 reference implementation version 1.0.1 has been released with patches. Minibits version 0.1.8 beta has been released with real-time encrypted notifications, and you can claim sats on wallet start. Fedi Bravo version 1.17 has been released with global chat. Lightning Loop version 0.28.2 beta has been released, breaking changes in Loop D. Changing breaks in Loop D? Is that what they meant to say?
No, I mean, I assume you have to update because it breaks previous okay. Implementations.
Okay. Foundation Passport firmware version 2.3.1 has been released with Theia, Zeus, and Coinbits integrations. I believe with that Zeus implementation, you can open Lightning channels directly from your hardware wallet. Is that what I read? Is that correct?
I read that on Nostr from Seth for privacy.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah. Bolt's web app version 1.4.0 and backend version 3.7.0 has been released with chain swaps. Albi extension version 3.8.1 has been released with improved permissions, settings, UI, and more. Mostro CLI version 0.10.0 has been released with range order fixes and a rewards board. Zap.store version 0.1.2 has been released with categories and latest releases. Wikifreedia version 0.0.7 has been released with improved editor mentions and nicer URLs. And for adopting Bitcoin in Arnhem, we have a link to the live stream if you want to watch that. In the Netherlands.
I love that they like open sourcing adopting Bitcoin. It's just going around the world.
Yeah.
I do think there's so many conferences, but I've heard good things about adopting Bitcoin.
Just choose the ones you go to. I chose Consensus this year because it came to me. Kidding.
Shit.
Did not step foot in the conference.
Oh, the Kraken panel was outside? It was an outside event?
Yeah, it was an outside event. Side event. Big side event guy this week. Went to Coin Center dinner last night. It was interesting.
How was that?
It was good. I mean, our table was good. Hardcore Bitcoiners. Good conversations. Hung out with KG from Matching Cura Wallet.
I love that dude.
I'm sure I butchered it, but they're doing really cool stuff.
Matching Cura.
Matching Cura.
I have no idea if I pronounced it correctly, but there's my attempt.
Yeah. Really solid, smart guy. Excited about what he's building down there in South Africa.
Agreed.
And he told me, speaking of conferences, they're being too much. I need to get down to Kenya this year. The African Bitcoin Conference.
Yeah, they really want me to go too. It's so difficult.
I've never been to Africa. I wouldn't mind going to Nairobi. I've heard good things about Nairobi.
Yeah, but I want to bring my family, and I don't want it to be a Bitcoin conference.
Yeah.
I want to do like a month, like 2 months.
Yeah, I feel like you have to if you're going to go to Africa. Make it worthwhile.
I mean, it's not that far away, but yeah.
Is it not?
No, and there's direct flights from D.C.,
Interesting. I always assumed it was like at least a 15-hour flight.
Do you not know how, like, have you not looked at a map? It's like right over the Atlantic.
I need to pull up a map now. Need to pull up a map. I'm zooming out of a...
Like 15 hours is like Hong Kong. That's where Africa is.
Oh, he came from South Africa. He said his flight was like 20 hours. That's way further. Yeah,
South Africa is further, but
I mean, Kenya's on the eastern coast of Africa.
Hong Kong is like 16 hours from New York.
Yeah, I think I might be right here. That's spanning the globe now on Google Maps and
Well, Africa's a continent. Like, if you're going to South Africa, okay. But I thought we were talking about Kenya.
We're talking about Kenya. It's on the East Coast. You have to cross the whole country, or the whole continent, excuse me.
Okay.
And the country, for that matter, because Nairobi is in the middle. South Central. South Central Kenya.
It's fine. Don't worry about it. I'm glad we looked at a map.
Yeah. All right. That was geography on RHR. Anything
you want to talk about before we wrap?
No.
I have something. Very underrated feature, the cold card password manager. I think it's,
on the queue.
I mean, yeah, specifically on the queue, but I believe it's on the MK4 as well. But on the queue, you have the full QWERTY keyboard. It might be like the most secure password manager ever shipped. Pretty cool.
It is very cool. I've used it for one password so far. It works.
Well, like you use it as the master pass. It holds the master password for one password, and then one password holds the rest.
No, I don't use one password, but I've spun up a new account for a single. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know you're better at that. I got.
And by the way, like every time I mention cold card, there's always all these conspiracy theories by a bunch of Seed Signer people. I've been a loud and proud supporter of Seed Signer for many, many years. The way I look at it is, it's like the 3D gun movement. Like, it's incredibly important that there's this open source viral community of do-it-yourself gun builders that protect people's rights in countries where you don't have the ability to acquire professionally built firearms. But like, at the end of the day, like, if I can, I'm going to carry an HKP-30 in my belt, not a 3D printed gun. But if I, it's still very important that I have the 3D printed gun project there if shit hits the fan and you have no other option. And like, that's how I look at Seed Signer versus Cold Card. Like, I don't think they're competitors. I think they're both incredibly important projects.
It's a great analogy. Block clock.
I want to see a BitAxe Block Clock collaboration where when you finally hit the lottery block, it just goes crazy. Yeah. That'd be cool.
Should be possible, especially if they're running on the same Wi-Fi.
I mean, no, but I would like it just integrated.
Yeah. MVK. On air. Product recommendation. We'll expect it to be shipped by next week's RHR.
Oh. Yeah. PubKeyBar. PubKey.bar/RHR. It's going to be the last RHR ever.
Biggest live smash buy in human history. We're getting in the Guinness Book of World Records.
It's going to be the second best event in Nashville that week after Beefsteak. Sorry, Josh. You were correct. Josh called me out. I said it was going to be the best event. Beefsteak is, there's a reason we're not conflicting with Beefsteak on the calendar.
Beefsteak's on a Friday, isn't it?
Yeah, you can do both. You can do both. We're on Thursday. You can just come in for 2 days, Thursday, Friday, bang, bang. You're going to have a great time. We're going to have the best. Rumor is Trump might show up. You know, I'm just hearing rumors. I'm not a lawyer. Have no personal information.
Trump is going to be, we're not lawyers. Trump is going to be at the Hot Style Takeover.
There you go. So what is
Trump
it?
Trump famously likes the steaks well done. And you know Josh isn't going to do well done, even if it's for a U.S. president.
It's pubkey.bar/RHR, right?
Yes.
And what date is it?
Thursday, 25th.
July 25th.
Yes.
At what time? 1
Doors
p.m.?
Open at 4.
4.
It's 4 to 7.
But if you get a VIP ticket, it's 3.
Yes.
VIP ticket gets you an hour early. We'll like talk about a bunch of shit off the record. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
It's going to be a great time. It's going to be a lot of
fun. Rumor is Matt's not going to have any buttons buttoned at the Hot Style Takeover. So if you've been waiting, if you've been watching.
These are all just rumors. These are all just rumors. We cannot confirm nor deny, but.
You have to show up and find out.
It's going to be fucking lit. And we're not going to live stream it. You have to be there. We're going to post it. Otherwise, you get it on delay and we'll post it after the fact. But if you want it live, you have to be there.
Yes. And you should want it live. You're going to be part of the biggest smash buy in human history. So you want to be part of history.
Marty's going to do that, though, not me.
Yes.
I've learned my lesson. Just stay humble, stack sats. Like, Bitcoin is designed to go up into the right gradually, then suddenly over time with a lot of dumps in between. No more dumps.
I don't know what you're spreading fake news.
I'm officially free of any kind of all-time high top calls. Well, opposite of top calls or whatever. I've bought every top and every bottom, quite frankly, but still.
It's impressive.
I feel free and yeah. I'm not going to tell people to buy.
Well, we're going to need you and your manpower to smash by on July 25th in Nashville, Tennessee at the Hot Style Takeover collaboration between PubKey and Rapid Hole Recap.
There we go.
It's going to be fun. Hopefully see you freaks there. We'll definitely see you next week. Thank you guys for joining us. I'm going to go back into the chaos of Consensus Week here in Austin, Texas.
Love you, Marty. Love you, Logan. Love you, Freaks, Stamble, Stack, Sets.
Love you too, brother. Peace and love.
Take care.